And it comes back to the great, incredibly courageous individual by the name of Jim Rothstein. It's all about leverage, Sarah. It's all about leverage. And that is the deep state business model. And it's not just 9/11. It's about the attempted coup of President Trump. It's about Benghazi. Another 9/11. Only that one was 9/11 2012. The reason why the truth doesn't come out, it's about that little car ride JFK took on November 23rd, 1963. The reason why the facts and the data don't come forward, it's because the deep state uses leverage that Jim Rothstein has had the courage to tell everybody who's willing to listen that they have on people. That's what shuts down the truth.
I'm proud to share with you Tetragen, which helps you transition to a healthier, happier, and thinner you without cravings or side effects. Our metabolic hormones are the underlying problem that doom every diet and exercise program to fail. They control our metabolism, cravings, how much we eat to feel satiated, blood sugar levels, and even our energy levels. Tetragen is formulated with four clinically proven patented ingredients that help rebalance your metabolic hormones in roughly 15 to 20 days, depending on the amount of weight you want to lose. Once your metabolic hormones are rebalanced, you'll be on the path to long-term sustainable weight loss because Tetragen is the first in the world which is scientifically formulated with four clinically proven and patented active ingredients to help you reach your targeted weight in two distinct phases. Phase one, rebalance your metabolic hormones, and phase two, accelerate fat loss. The best part is that Tetragen comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose besides weight? Learn more with the link below.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have the great Dave Janda coming back to the show. We are going to be talking about many things. The new Building 7 report that came out with 9/11, being that it's the 9/11 anniversary. We're also going to talk about the deep state, the deep state's business model of blackmail and human compromise and what that means and how that ties into the Mockingbird project the CIA had going on. And I think Dave nails it on how the censorship in this country is happening. It's a combination of the Mockingbird project and the CIA's project and of infiltration, you know, into the different organizations and the human compromise principle that our great Jimmy Boots talks about, Detective Rothstein. And then we talk about what it means, the red hat. What does Make America Great Again really mean? It's so offensive to so many people. And why is that? And what does that mean? And so we dive into some, these are important issues of our day and how we are, the deep state divides and conquers us to control us. And I'm hoping that people really who haven't completely got a glimpse of how they control, how the deep state's control really works, I hope this will help you understand how they maintain their control. Because, you know, how did it's, you know, the 9/11 is one thing, but how did they maintain that cover up for so long? How come the mainstream media is still covering up for 9/11? How are they maintaining that control? And that is really what a lot of this conversation is about. So let's get into this great conversation with Dr. Dave Janda. Hi, Dave. Welcome back to the show.
Sarah, it's an honor to be with you, and it's an honor to be with your fantastic platform. I always get such great feedback from your listeners and viewers, and I thank you for everything that you do and how you do it.
Well, I have the best. I have the smartest. You know, my guests keep telling me that I have, like, the best listeners, the smartest, and I feel so blessed. But I'm also blessed to have you on the show because you have the contacts and you have the brains to go with it. And the integrity, which is very rare in this world, which we both painfully are aware of. You had a really good show, you know, 9/11, the anniversary was yesterday, and you did a really good show kind of summarizing your experience. And I think that, could you talk a little bit about 9/11?
Yeah, it's kind of the third rail, right? And because it's something that you and I discussed this. It's not something that you really feel comfortable discussing for so many reasons, because it was so horrendous, so horrific, such a huge loss of life. And in my mind, you know, as you know, Sarah, my background in medicine is, in addition to being an orthopedic surgeon for 32 years, I've been involved for 34 years in the world of prevention, preventing injuries, preventing catastrophic events. And a real big part of 9/11, 2001, is it was a completely preventable event. You know, you've had two fantastic guests. You have a multitude of fantastic guests on, but two of your guests that I'm very fond of, who I consider very dear friends, are Bill Benny and Kurt Wiebe. And they retired in October of 2001 because of what happened on September 11, 2001, because for several reasons, one of which they felt that the ball was dropped, that 9/11 2001 was preventable. And I think when, in retrospect, when you look back on it, as much as we don't want to look back on it, and frankly, Sarah, I think the perpetrators behind 9/11, and frankly, I believe it goes much deeper than 19 dudes with box cutters. I believe the narrative that we've been told might have some elements of truth in it, but it's not the entire truth. And the reason why I believe that is that I was trained as a scientist. My background was I received my bachelor's degree and double majored. One was in chemistry, and specifically analytical chemistry, and the other was in economics. And then I went to medical school and was trained in the medical sciences. And if when you start to look, and you can't, you we couldn't have done this in the first days, weeks, even months. But as we look at the data, and as we look at the science behind those buildings and what happened, it doesn't add up to the narrative that we've been presented. And what I spoke about in this video the other day, and it's on my YouTube channel, Operation Freedom, if folks are interested, it involved my dad. My dad was a civil engineer. And he, after he graduated from University of Illinois in civil engineering, he actually ended up, it was the time of World War II, and he became a member of the Army Corps of Engineers. And in our discussions, it's something that your dad was also involved in. And I won't go into specifics of what he did in the military, but when you're involved in the Army Corps of Engineers, you are involved in building items. But because you know how to build items, you also can be involved in knowing how to destroy locations, buildings, structures. And that takes me back to September 11, 2001, when I live in Southeast Michigan. My parents at the time still lived in Chicago, where I grew up. And my dad, after he got out of the military, worked in the construction industry and actually ended up founding over time his own company. And he was involved in the building of many large structures in the city of Chicago. In fact, when he passed away on January 28, 2003, the Chicago Tribune did a very big tribute to him, saying that that Ben Janda, when you look at the skyline, think Ben Janda and what he did during his career. It was an incredible testimony. And in fact, the then mayor of Chicago, Richard Daley, the son of the boss, Richard Daley, who was the mayor for many years, who my dad actually disagreed with very much, very vociferously politically, but actually they respected each other and got a lot done for the city. When my dad passed, Richard Daley, the son, who was then the mayor, sent a beautiful letter to my mom and actually gave a tribute in the City Council of Chicago about my dad and what he accomplished. He knew buildings. He knew structures. And when they would build large structures in the city of Chicago, they would also look at large structures elsewhere around the country, and one of which was the World Trade Center. So he had a pretty good handle on the World Trade Center, its construction. And he had colleagues that were very large in the construction industry, civil engineering rise, and architecturally as well. When that morning happened, I called him immediately and my mom because I didn't want them going down to the city of Chicago, because I had heard through some contacts that there was a potential that there were going to be attacks elsewhere, and in particular the city. My dad's first comment was, let them take on some of my buildings and see what happens if they try to fly a plane into it. But then he said something very interesting. He said, you know, Dave, I know what I saw on TV, those planes hitting those towers. But Dave, it doesn't add up from a civil engineering standpoint. He goes, those planes could not have cut into those buildings, those towers, like a knife going into a piece of cheese, because what he described it, Sarah, is that those buildings construct, those constructs of those buildings were like what he called an exoskeleton. In other words, when you build a building, many times the supporting structures of the building are around the elevator shafts, the main framework, is the supporting structures around the main framework around the elevator shafts. But the way the World Trade Centers were created were more of the framework being on the entire outside of, if you will, of the building. And I believe he said, you know, for example, he goes, if you go into that building, the windows are so narrow. And he said, the reason is because the supporting steel structures are all on the outside portion of the building. So he said, I know what I saw. I know what I saw on TV. And it just doesn't make sense. And he goes, I have to make some calls. And he throughout the morning and afternoon, and we were in touch with each other. And as the day wore on, Sarah, he got madder and madder. And the reason is because all his colleagues he spoke to, civil engineers and architects around the country, none of them could come up with an answer of why they saw what they saw, because from a civil engineering standpoint, an architectural standpoint, from a building material standpoint, it didn't add up. And then when the buildings came down, the towers, he said, the way the buildings came down, he goes, I never would have anticipated that. And that prompted more phone calls of him to his friends and back and forth. And then the call came after it was early evening that night when Building 7 fell. And at this point, Sarah, he was irate. He said, Dave, none of us can figure this out. None of this makes any sense. He goes, but, and this was, I think, around maybe 6:30 at night. He said, what just happened with Building 7? He goes, minimal fires in that building. He goes, Dave, in the history of modern architecture and modern construction, in particular with steel structures, a building has never imploded like that because of a fire. You got it?
And a small fire in one of the upper corners.
He goes, Dave, I can tell you, and this was at around 6 or 6:30, September 11, 2001. Said, Dave, that building was taken down. He goes, do you remember when you were a little boy? And before we would start construction on a big project, we'd sometimes have to take another structure down. And you remember how you used to like to watch that happen? I go, uh-huh. And he goes, Dave, what you saw today with Building 7 was what you saw when you were a little boy when we took buildings down before we started to build something bigger and better. He said, Dave, you call those friends you have in Washington and you find out what was in that Building 7. Because you know what, Dave? He said, there's something they wanted out of that building that they wanted to deep six. You know, Sarah, this goes, since you and I spoke on the phone yesterday, there was a quote. Donald Trump said this on November 10th, 2016. It was reported in Newspunch. Quote, first of all, the original 9/11 investigation is a total mess and has to be reopened. Quote, the quote, end quote, new quote. How do two planes take out three buildings in the same day? I never got my head around the fact that nothing is mentioned about the destruction of Building 7 in the 585-page document.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
He explained, talking about World Trade Center 7, which also collapsed inexplicably during the September 11th attacks. And then, and I didn't mention, Sarah, for those not familiar, the buildings hit the two towers, but they never hit Building 7. That was not from a piece of the plane.
Yeah, Building 7 was quite a distance from it, too. There was a two-lane highway between the two. It was
47 stories, not a little structure.
No, and if you look at all the other buildings that had fires going on, they were still standing and they had a lot more damage, the ones that were right next to it.
Last year, I believe one of the largest building in the world in Malaysia, I believe it was, caught fire, right? It was an inferno. Did that fall over?
I think that's why all the architects and engineers came forward, you know, that organization, Architects and Engineers. I think that's why so many people came forward. And the problem is it did bring about a lot of conspiracy theories. But it's obvious that it was a sham of some sort. Now, do you know what was in that building?
Well, there were a number of offices. The CIA, the Secret Service, the Securities and Exchange Commission. And as I understand it, there was one of the largest gold and silver vaults in the country housed in the basement. And it's my understanding there was very little gold and silver that was ever recovered from the site after the event. Now, go to the science. Let's go. So there is a study that came out in 2017, 2 years ago. It was a two-year study. And it was a two-year study has determined the collapse of, and they looked at World Trade Center 7 building, the one we just spoke about. And Dr. Leroy Hulsey of the University of Alaska Fairbanks presented the findings and conclusion of his team's two-year study, and which was an engineering study evaluating whether fire caused the collapse of World Trade Center 7 on September 11, 2001. Quote, World Trade Center 7 was not hit by a plane, yet it collapsed at 5:20 p.m. on September 11, 2001, according to the National Institute of Standards and Technology. The collapse, according to the National Standards and Technology, was caused by office fires leading to thermal expansion of the building's supportive columns and girders. Dr. Hulsey's presentation, quote, a structural reevaluation of the collapse of World Trade Center 7. The progress report detailed how his team eliminated fire as the cause of the collapse of the 47-story building. Now let's take it 2 years later. This just was issued. The entire four, now it's a four-year study by, and it was the, it's entitled A Structural Reevaluation of the Collapse of World Trade Center 7, J. Leroy Hulsley, PhD, University of Alaska Fairbanks. This just came out the other day. The objective of the study was threefold. One, examine the structural response of World Trade Center 7 building to fire loads that may have occurred on September 11, 2001. Two, rule out scenarios that could not have caused the observed collapse. And three, identify types of failures in their locations that may have caused the total collapse to occur as observed. The principal conclusion of our study, this is 4 years, just happened the other day, is that fire did not cause the collapse of World Trade Center 7 building on 9/11, contrary to the conclusions of the national NIST and private engineering firms that studied the collapse. The secondary conclusion of our study is the collapse of World Trade Center 7 building was a global failure involving the near simultaneous failure of every column in the building. Sarah, that conclusion is the same conclusion my father reached between 6 and 6:30 p.m. the night of September 11, 2001. What he said was, Dave, for that building to collapse in that manner, the way it did and the speed it did, the supporting structures all had to be cut at the same time.
And that takes,
it was a takedown.
Yeah. So what kind of organized effort does it take to get create a cover-up like they created? That's the scary part to me, the cover-up. And the fact that they had all these engineering firms and the entire narrative, and they're still covering it up. If you listen to the media, they're still talking about it, which is almost worse. It's better for them not to say
it. Sarah, look at what the New York Times put out on September 11, 2019 in a tweet, that it was planes that took down the buildings. No, the planes didn't fly. The planes did not decide to do this on their own and fly themselves into the building. There are people behind this. And in fact, Sarah, the New York Fire Commissioners recently, at the end of July of this year, have demanded a new 9/11 probe, citing, quote, overwhelming evidence of pre-planted explosives, end quote. This from Zero Hedge, quote, you better believe that when the entire fire service of New York State is on board, we will be an unstoppable force. We were the first fire district to pass this resolution. We won't be the last. New York area fire commissioners have called for a new investigation in 9/11, claiming that, quote, overwhelming evidence of pre-planted explosives caused the destruction of the three World Trade Center buildings, end quote. So these are professional firefighters who do this for a living. And do the forensics. The Franklin Square and Munson Fire District outside of Queens, New York, made history by becoming the first legislative body in the country to support a new investigation in the events of 9/11, according to Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Look, Sarah, anyone who brings any of this up is a conspiracy theorist, is a whack job, and they need to be put away.
Well, but it's so obvious, right?
Sarah,
it's so obvious to architects, engineers, my whole family is engineers, and we have architects, and just like yours, you have science people. Anybody that can think knows. And now it's becoming confirmed by mainstream institutions. The question is, what kind of cover? I mean, how could they have done this cover up and still do this cover up with the mainstream media? Now, what does that point to? I mean, we keep talking about the mainstream media being controlled. We talk about the government being controlled. Now, it's obvious that parts of the government are not as controlled because these things are coming out. But what does that mean? I mean, we're talking deep state. This is the core of the deep state. And what does that mean? What kind of control did they have? And how are they wielding it to be able to cover up something so obvious that most engineers and architects and people in the know knew right away was a sham.
Sarah, it all comes back to something you have had the courage to report and the what I've tried to report. And it comes back to the great, incredibly courageous individual by the name of Jim Rothstein. It's all about leverage, Sarah. It's all about leverage. And that is the deep state business model. And it's not just 9/11. It's about the attempted coup of President Trump. It's about Benghazi. It another 9/11, only that one was 9/11 2012. The reason why the truth doesn't come out, it's about that little car ride JFK took on November 23rd, 1963. The reason why the facts and the data don't come forward, it's because the deep state uses leverage that Jim Rothstein has had the courage to tell everybody who's willing to listen that they have on people. That's what shuts down the truth. And that's why I believe, Sarah, we are coming to a point in time that is what I've called the deep state Waterloo. And that is when the bonds, the chains of this leverage are broken. Now, let me tell you something. Donald Trump, I read a quote he said earlier, years ago. This is something he said June 17th, 2019, 3 months ago, not even. Quote, Trump, quote, "I think I know who was behind the 9/11 attacks." President Trump says he knows who was behind the September 11, 2001 attacks, telling ABC News George Stephanopoulos. That would be the same George Stephanopoulos, Sarah, who used to have dinner at Jeffrey Epstein's mansion townhouse on 71st Street. You wonder why George Stephanopoulos doesn't talk about what the deep state has been up to? Do you think Jeffrey Epstein might have had a little something on little Georgie?
Oh, I'm sure.
And that maybe that's why George? Oh, you better believe it. This is what he told Stephanopoulos, quote, Trump, quote, "Iraq did not knock down the World Trade Center," adding, quote, it was other people. And I think who I know who the other people were. And you might also, George, end quote.
Essentially, you know, too, George, you just won't say it. Now, what do you think about the, you know, all the censorship that's going on? Now, this is a media blackout censorship on the people. It's war on the people. Now, is Google being blackmailed? I mean, is that what we're seeing here? Because how could they raise up, you know, with all the fake information on the Russian collusion? They know it's fake. They are still propping up the mainstream media, who obviously did a hardcore conspiracy theory for the last couple of years. It's proven to be a hardcore conspiracy theory, but they are still propping them up as the authoritative source. Are they being blackmailed, do you think? Because it doesn't make sense.
Here's what I believe. We know that there was a project run by the CIA called Operation Mockingbird decades ago. I believe it never ended. That's where they implanted individuals in every part of the media. Print, radio, television. They had operatives at critical areas in the editorial process, at let's call them choke points. I don't think that's ever, people say, oh, that, well, that, first they said, oh, that's conspiracy theory. And then when it actually came out that there was evidence that, oh, no, this in fact program existed, then these same apologists, let's call them puppets of the deep state, came out and said, well, all right, well, okay, well, this is what they do, by the way. They never retract anything, right? They just kind of say, well, okay, yeah, it did exist, but what? Well, it's no longer in place. Oh, no, it is completely in place and even bigger and better than ever. So here's what I think. Could there be people in Google, or you name the outfit, that are being blackmailed? Absolutely. However, Do I think the entire echelon, the upper echelon of Google? No. What I do believe is just as the CIA, and which is an arm of the deep state, had put people in critical areas in the editorial process of radio, TV, and print media decades ago, and they're still there, I believe they've done the same thing in Google, in Facebook, in Twitter, in you name the social media platform, because they cannot let this information get out. So could there be a combination of the two where there are some people in these organizations that are being blackmailed? Yeah. But could it also be, and I believe this is where the crux is, there are critical people in choke points that are operatives of the deep state through the intelligence agencies that are there to suppress this. For example, Sarah, when you do a YouTube and you mention Epstein, the fact that Epstein was a front for the intelligence agencies, such as the CIA, the Israeli Mossad, the British MI6, you can sure as heck bet that you are not going to be ranked very high on how that video will be networked to the public.